what I want to start off with today is by asking you, where were you in your life? Where were you in your life the time before you reached out to me? What was going on in terms of your career, your relationships, and what were you looking for at that time in your life?
Where was I before you and I started? I think right definitely before you and I started, I think I was at, like, I would call my highest peak of excitement of going through what I would call the walk of passion, building an organization that you feel is aligned with who you are. You see it in, you look at it and you're seeing that it's forming right before your eyes. I felt super high, super happy, super busy. Couldn't actually wait to get busier. I just, like, if I'm being honest, I couldn't wait. Like, I felt like with the more success that would come with opening up a company or an organization, that it would come with being busy. And busy at that time meant being productive and actually being involved and being someone, I guess, if you want to say. My love life was pretty much what I would call standard and going through its normal phases of mimicking all each other. The relationships kind of all mimicked each other from whatever starting point to right before you and I had engaged in our coaching. My parenting was, I wouldn't say, I don't really have anything negative to say as far as how I felt before our coaching. But I would absolutely, I definitely have a lot to say of what's changed, what's bettered, or what's improved. So yeah, I think when you asked me that question, what stood out the most for me and my prior to us beginning our coaching was I was super, super busy and super excited for how busy I was and how elevated that felt.
That's awesome and interesting. And it's going to be fun to kind of break this down. So you came to me not for healing, self-love at that moment. You came to me for business coaching, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about that. Why business coaching and why did you choose to want to work with me?
So, man, this has so many, it's like a body. It just has so many streams of everything.
Organs,
layers, and arteries. So, you know, where do I grab first? I mean, I remember following you. I can't recall when and how you became a part of my page or when that happened, but I do know there was a point where in my search for continuous growth and women empowerment, I would search for women who were involved in women empowerment. So if you looked the part, I was kind of maybe following you and trying to check out what you had to offer, or if, I don't know, I don't know if you actually followed me first. Somehow the world and everything aligned. And I remember seeing videos of you because you would do a lot of lives. And I would hear you talk about, I guess, you know, about healing. It's funny because at that point, I didn't even, like, healing to me back then was like, what does that even mean? Why does, what do you self-love yourself? Yeah, I love myself. Like, to me, that was like such a, don't bother with that question. It doesn't make any sense. I'm going to say, yeah, I love myself. Like, who says they hate themselves? I'm sure people do, but you kind of mainly hear people say I love myself. I had reached you at a point where months before I had my first business coach who was promoting to just help you if you had a business, get to the next level? How do you move this business somewhere else? If you have all of these ideas and all these plans, how do we get it together? And that was me. I had like, So I remember reaching out, and I do remember thinking, man, this is going to cost money. It's going to cost money. And, you know, and when I remember when I had to think about it, and I had to really think about, I do have this business in my hands, and I have so many ideas, and I want this to birth out, but I really have no clue how to do this. So you have to know when. And I said, you know, I'm going to brush this up, and I'm going to pay for this program that I, at that time, I thought was so expensive. And God knows. and I went through it. And then when I finished it, it did bring me to a point with that program from the beginning to the end that I realized I needed more for who I wanted to help, right? For me, I was the answer. I was the person who can connect to youth. I felt like a magnet to them. I wanted to focus specifically in sexual abuse. And, you know, the more I worked with this prior coach, the more I realized that sexual abuse had just so many monsters and so many legs to grab. So although I felt it was a very successful program, it brought me to the next phase of what do I do now with this? Because this is beautiful. But I'm still now I birth more ideas. Forget it, you know. So I remember that in the midst of that, I was following you, and you were talking a lot about healing and healing and healing and healing. And I was seeing the other girls, my audience, the purpose of why this organization was even birthed. And I thought, you know, she could really help me put this together. She's talking about, you had mentioned something about business. I don't know if you were promoting, I think at that time you were promoting your book and being, if you wanted to help someone be an author. And at that time I was writing a book, and I thought, yeah, this woman's going to help me bring this to the next level. I mean, along the way, I might become a millionaire, and this is going to be that successful. And I'm going to write a book too. I'm going to be an author. So I reached out to you, and I remember that I had to brace myself, because I knew that to hire a business coach, you know, I said, I'm not sure what this is going to cost. And then I remember that at that time, I wanted to be so busy with you. Like, I think if you remember even my energy on the first call, like, I wanted to hire you in that second. Let's get started now.
Yes. You gave me like 400 tasks. You're like, I want to write the book. I want to run this business. I want to speak too. How can they hire me? And then for everybody who's watching, so Yadira was running a organization to help young girls who'd been through sexual trauma. And it was the most beautiful vision that she held for that, but I'm gonna let you get back to it, but that's basically what it was. You're like, let's get started. This I'm like, dang, like she's giving me assignments.
Like, I'm like, okay, you know, once you agreed that you can help me with these tasks, I'm like, okay, let's get on it. And then I remember when and I can't even recall the fee at that time, but when you offered a three-month program, and I thought, brace yourself, Yadira, because you're not used to this. You know, the truth was that I was more, I've always been like the community advocate, the hands-on, you know, I'll go serve, I'll go volunteer, send me to Haiti, send me to Guatemala. I'm more hands-on than being a financial sponsor, I would say. I like to give more of my time and hands, but I realized that I you know, I had to shift that because this was investing into, not even into me yet. I was investing into this idea that I needed to go out and help these young ladies. Like, it was desperate. And I wanted this message, you know, at that time, the program that I was pushing was to eliminate ineffective reporting of sexual abuse. So this was like priority number one. And then I remember as I was hearing you And I think you're responsible for this, because I had an idea and it was to go on the business path. But then I would hear you on your lives talking about self-love and self-worth and this, and I still didn't get the message. This is how outside of my own body I was, that I was like, yes, now she can help me write a program of self-love for these girls. And then I was like, yes, get busier. and honestly, the more ideas I came up with, the happier I felt, at least I thought. And then, you know, there were many, 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 many days and months and probably years of my life that I cried alone because of how busy I was and how many deadlines I didn't get to meet and how hard I was on myself and how unfocused I was and how many times I would cry to myself or be in the desk, like looking at this book I want to write and I'm crying and, you know, but no one would see any of that. Not even my family, because that was super personal. You know, that's not what you're airing out every day. And I kind of just thought, that's okay. You have to cry in private and then you shake it off. You got to be a big girl and then you got to get back and sit down and make this work out for you, for these girls. And I remember that going back to when you told me the fee, and then I thought about the 3 months and you told me how I was going to meet with you. I don't remember if it was once a week or twice a week. I can't remember. And I said, you know what? I've already invested in the one program. I can't stop now. And it would be wasted money then and wasted time. I have to hire her. I have to give her a shot. I feel aligned with you for some reason. And I'm going to sacrifice this.
To kind of pause it there a little bit, there are two parts that I want to touch on. The one part is you had, I don't know if you remember this because it's been a while since we started working together. You had originally reached out because I was launching, yes, it was the author's program, but it was also a business program about how to start your business. And you said to me, hey, you know, I've already started and this program going to do this for me. And then I remember we came to the agreement that one-on-one coaching was better for you. And you yes. were kind of all on board on that. What made you choose to go with me individually rather than committing yet to another program with a new coach and instead of diving into the one-on-one coaching?
So, I mean, I one thing was I loved your truth. And I didn't realize this because I wanted to hire you for you to tell me, in essence, what to do. Like, just tell me what to do, Ivana. I don't want to learn. I don't want to learn about any of this. I just want you to tell me what to do. And I think that there was a point where I know you would position yourself to say, you know, I don't tell my clients what to do. You know, you bring us to the point of knowing what to do. And I didn't know how to deal with that. Like, at first I was like, am I wasting my time or am I, because I don't know that I know what to do. That's why I hired her to tell me what to do. And I'm like, she's stimulating me to think. And I realized that, I mean, having you, I'm not saying that jumping around from coach to coach is bad, is right or wrong. My personal choice is that you have to realize who your energy connects with and have some trust in yourself. I always felt that the women that I attracted in my life for some reason were always very good women. I had always been able to attract good women into my life, powerful women into my life. So that was a part of me that I was able to trust. So moving from a business coach to hiring you as a one-on-one private coach, it became easy. It became easy. It was so easy that I forgot all about my trauma of pain. That these things cost money, you know? So, because pain, honestly, was probably the biggest holdback that I ever had in my life.
So what the cool thing that I think that I want to kind of bring out is even though you were neglecting your pain and your relationship with yourself, you said you were still able to recognize and attract powerful women. And so what I think is interesting, and this is about like your innate power when you really trust it, the fact that you listen to yourself about like you feeling like I was the right coach for you. And even throughout your healing, you said that hasn't changed for you. So you already had a part of you where you could, like you said, you could trust yourself. You could trust that this was the best relationship for you. Is that to you, or was that to you, a voice, a feeling, like for someone who's watching, they're like, how do I choose which coach to work with? Or how do I know when to pull the plug? What would you say to that?
I mean, so I, prior, you have been the first coach. You know, I think I had a glimpse when I was working with the prior coach that had nothing to do with me personally. It was just about creating a program for the girls. And there was one moment where I remember that the program brought me to tears. And I had experienced in my sleep, my families had told me that I had experienced shakes and things like that I didn't know about. So I realized that the program, when I started working on the program, it started bringing back, I guess, my trauma. But at the time, I didn't know that. I had no idea of, I thought I had this all locked and loaded down, healed, you know, being, you know, for the listeners, I had been a victim of sexual abuse, and I had come to the point of not only acknowledging that to myself, but also speaking upon it and through time, confessing that to the people that I felt needed to hear this. So much so that I, like Ivana mentioned, you know, opening up my organization to go help young ladies in some capacity. I think that when I remember coming to you, I remember one session we had where I asked you, we were doing the business coach, and I asked you about creating a self-love program for the girls. And I wanted to put an order of what a girl should consider first, her self-worth, her self, I forget what order we talked about. And I remember that as you were breaking down what each category meant, and this was for the young ladies, I remember a moment right there where I just thought, oh my God, I'm that girl. I'm the one that she's describing. And I, for a moment, I didn't even see myself as a woman. I saw the little girl. And I realized, and then in my thinking, I said, oh my God, I hired her as a business coach, and I hired her to go help these girls, which is all great and all beautiful. But how didn't I know this? How I live with myself. How didn't I know that I was in this much pain? I had no idea that I needed a healing coach. I didn't know I wasn't even healed. I thought that by acknowledging it, letting my family know, facing it, I thought I had healed. And then I really felt a sense of responsibility, because I had already been visiting schools and working with teenagers to, you know, God willing, be able to confess if they are going through this. And after speaking with you, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, there's other layers. It's not just about confessing. That's one big part, but they have to know how to live with themselves and what this does to them. And I saw my life right before me. I saw the relationships I had attracted. I saw my parenting, I just saw so much. And that's when I saw you in my life forever.
That's what, oh, I love you.
I don't know if you have that many lives left to continue with, how much, you know, I've learned through that since then. Oh, good. Are we there? Oh, sorry. I've learned since then that it's a never ending journey. I thought I was going to work with you to just heal what the sexual abuse trauma. And I realized that we have been working on so many layers and layers and layers. It's the never-ending layers. that I'm sometimes like in shock of how powerful our body is to hold this, like, honestly.
Yes.
And thank God we don't have the ability to every single day remember every experience to the detail of what you may have lived, because who would survive that?
No one. that's why we go into repression. So that's yes. Very powerful. Thank you for sharing this. So there is a lot. So you had the hint, you had the feeling, you were already working on your business. Obviously you yourself were neglected. So you took all the stuff that you had repressed and you put that onto focusing on helping other girls, right? You saw yourself in them. And this is also how you didn't have to deal with your own pain. So it's kind of like not denial because you had expressed it, but I don't want to say ignorance, but you didn't have the understanding.
Unaware.
Yeah, unaware. You weren't aware. You just didn't have the awareness. So you were like, okay, I went through this. I did this. So let me help these girls do the same thing because I don't want them to hurt too. And then I remember you sharing how some things would anger you a lot, how some things were a little triggering and how you wanted to do everything in your power to make sure that they wouldn't experience certain type of reality. So a lot of emotions that were coming out, and you said it was me, but it was actually you. I was, and again, I don't tell my clients what to do. I think we were in the middle of our coaching relationship or we were getting closer to the end. We got on a phone call and you said to me, Ivana, do you think we should shift our coaching from business to self-love? You asked me that question. And I asked you back, what do you think? And you said,
I know.
And you said, yes.
I knew you were going to say that.
So yes. Talk a little bit about that shift. How did you go from like thinking, watching my videos, and you're like, I'm good with that. I don't really need that. I just want help with my business. And I feel aligned with her. What in you or what happened in our coaching relationship? So tell us a little bit about that. What happened in our coaching relationship that made you realize that you need some deeper inner work?
The moment that, you know, I mean, your teaching is absolutely like, I've experienced your free coaching, which is like, whoa. And then it's your paid courses where it's like, how can you go from whoa to whoa? And, you know, so I thought, And I that what you were sharing with me was enough at the time to, I guess, to get by. Or the moment that I realized that you brought out of me this, I guess you allowed me for some reason in our connection with our energy, the way you coach, what you were teaching, which was so deep, you know, deep. Like if someone is you, if you're coaching someone and they don't change, honestly, it's just because it's just a choice that they don't want to, because the materials that you present, you can't deny it. And I think that I felt at that moment that everything up until that moment has always been genuine and passionate for me with these girls. And when I realized you're talking about me and I cannot present myself in front of these girls knowing that I used to present myself healed. Like I'm strong. I made it. You could do it. You know, I got through it. And now I couldn't face them because, I mean, I would one, have to cry the whole time. And then two, I had to, I needed to go through the work that I was about to teach them to go through. And I know that you had the materials, you had, you challenged me. I honestly, I've never liked that you don't tell us what to do.
You don't have to like it.
It's the part that challenges. I'm like, sometimes, you know, you just want that answer now. And I know that has to do with like just even how busy I am. Like, okay, let's get it now. Let's move forward. That pause has really allowed me to go in and go in and go in. And I think that's where I shifted. I wanted to be true to myself. I wanted to be true to the program. I wanted to be, the funny part was that as I'm saying what I wanted to be true, I really first wanted to be truth. Like I wanted to be, I didn't want to be a hypocrite in front of them. I realized it was me that you were talking to, that girl inside of me. But I didn't realize even at that moment how hurt I was. I didn't know at all.
So this was,
and being, then, yeah,
this was being,
that led us.
This was being mirrored to you. And it was being mirrored all the time until you could actually see it. Right.
Yes.
So did you in the coaching, so you were accomplishing still, you were making things happen. You were writing, we had started on an entire new program. You were writing on your book, I remember. So you were accomplishing. What I want to point out in all this is that you did take a break, and we'll get into that, where you focused majority of the time and energy was focused on you. Now the world has taught us that success is in terms of what you accomplish with tasks, with business, with, you know, you started a family and you get like these milestones done. But I think the big thing is here that you are such a success, even though maybe according to the average person, they wouldn't see that because you put your business to rest for a little bit to be able to fully focus on you because you had never really done that fully. And I want to touch on that success, you recognizing that your busyness and your constant needing to complete things was a trauma response. And then you making the conscious choice and saying, hey, this doesn't matter how much I accomplish or achieve here or how successful I am in the external world, how much I help other people until I accomplish that level of success internally. And that's what I think is like the most beautiful part about you. What do you have to say about that?
It's absolutely true. I mean, then I didn't know that it was a trauma response. I honestly didn't associate any of my behavior to trauma at all. I honestly thought everything I had gone through and to be where I was in life and still have the desire to build a business, help people, and just continue to move forward, my family, and I mean, keep going and work and be an achiever. I just thought, I got to be successful. It's very important to me to be successful. And whether it was, I want to say maybe worldviews have created what success looks like, and we adapt to that. Today, I definitely do not view success like that anymore. And like you mentioned, I had several traumatic events happen even after I opened up my organization to go help these girls. And I had, you know, some traumatic events that I can't mention. One of the events, I lost my brother, passed away. There's four of us and five of us, and one of us, you know, is no longer here. And that was an event that, you know, I'm still working through. And it kind of happened during another event that was very, very hard for me to experience. And I remember as these two events were nearby each other, and I was still living them, I was still working with you, and I was still grinding and being busy and trying to move forward with all of those ideas that I had, you know, now paid to put into action. But here comes these two personal events that literally knocked me down. And I remember, you know, the last event was the passing of my brother. And I had already been, as I was experiencing your coaching and your programs, because you and I did, we did so many different programs. I did so many programs, your programs. I did so many free classes. I did so many courses. I've done with you. I've hired you more than once for private coaching. now I'm going to your next, to your workshop. It's, wow, it's a, we've worked a lot together.
Yes, we have. So all this was being, this was stacked upon you while you were going through the coaching. So not only had you realized, dang, I've been suppressing some things. I have some things to heal and work on. But now on top of that, you got more traumatic experiences. How are you going through that?
So in the time that so when I was working with you, when we finally shifted in from business to self-love and you were outpouring and teaching and I was just gas guzzling it all. And I was like, listen, this is amazing. Like, this is easy. This is wonderful. Why haven't I done this before? Right? Like I have a bunch of tools now. And I don't know why I thought that you were giving me these tools and I was just gonna leave them in the toolbox, but you gave me all these tools and it was so exciting to get a bunch of new tools that you think you've already used as I'm in your coaching. And then I think the part of going through never being a woman who's walked through self-love, and I'm not talking about getting your nails done or going to the spa, I'm talking about that messy self-love journey that hurts and it's uplifting. the one that I had no clue about. Having those tools and being so excited and being so happy and being so high of feeling, my God, I love myself. Oh my God, this is amazing. The opportunities that I see for myself now, my family, I got to get them to understand what self-love is. Like, and it was so genuine and so beautiful and just so like spring air, you want to take it all in. And then these two events happen. The first one knocked me down and honestly, it triggered my trauma of being busy and I got busier with girl, with my organization. But then when my brother passed, I got knocked down and I remember going to the mirror and I said, all right, this is it right now. And I really did do this. And I'm sure I have videos to prove it. Cause
you do
I did go through a phase of recording myself and I would replay it. And I would, you know, there's a saying out there, you know, you fake it till you make it. And I would say to myself or look in the mirror and record myself saying, you're not going to do what you are used to doing. And I would stand and say, what would I just do right now before going through your courses? And I already knew I would get busy. And I said, what should you do right now? And I had to at first go through my notes that I had from your courses. And one was the Healing Academy. When I took the Healing Academy, and I remember having such a good time and having you, like, it wasn't one-on-one, but at the time, I remember one day we had like that one-on-one. And I remember that it got to a point that I had to write myself a letter, but I had to write the little girl a letter. And man, oh man, I was like, yeah, I'll write myself a letter. Like, this is going to be cute. And there was nothing cute about it. It was like, wow, I didn't know how to face her. And I thought to myself, you are her. And I realized, wow, there is someone in me who is so hurt. And yes, this is why certain things, you know, make that, you know, what we know as trigger, but what does trigger really look like for you? How do you respond? How does my face get? How does my nerves, you know, how does my body react? And do I go from straight to cave? What do I do? Man, I think going through Healing Academy, I remember going through, Soulful self-love. And that was also super eye-opening for me. There was just so many courses and understanding like the mother wounds, the masculine energy. And I realized through all of these courses, and I mean, there were so many messages, but in the top of my memory, like I remember thinking, Yadira, you really are a survivor. You truly are wonderful. Like, you have to stop all of this immediately of bad talking, the negative self-talk. And I didn't realize how much negative self-talk I had. I didn't realize that as many people that would say, oh my God, you're so beautiful and all this and that, I felt unworthy. If I'm being honest, you know, I felt many, many years physically dirty or ashamed, or, you know, it leads you to the path of not being able to be truthful fully with your partner until you get to that point of knowing how to really talk about your past and your experiences without that shame. When I realized that I was looking in the mirror, that was one first breakthrough. Two, asking myself, what are you going to do? You have a choice to make. Mm. And I just remember thinking, if I do what I feel I'm supposed to do, which is right now, you need to shut down the world. And you need to stop being available for everyone. That is the most immediate priority you have right now. Turn off the noise, the outside noise, and listen to the noise that's going on right now in your life and sit with it and figure out what's next. Don't put any plans. Don't go move forward. Don't think about next month. Just think about how are you going to turn off today? And I remember thinking, okay, I'll turn off today, tomorrow. I'll be like 2 weeks. And that's so much, you know, when you have an online business and your idea of success is answering to everyone and making sure everyone thinks, you know, she's ready. She's on time. She's punctual. She's this, she's that. Now, what are they going to think of you? Where the hell did Yadira go from social media? And I was like, wait, maybe I should do a live. Maybe I should. And I said, for once in your life, I'm glad it wasn't recorded or I wasn't on reality TV, because I probably looked very bipolar because I was having a conversation with myself. And I said, for once in your life, put yourself first. It's okay. Why is that so hard for you? You would drop everything to put that person first and make them feel priority and make them feel wanted and number one. Why haven't you done that for yourself? That's when I started really having knockouts, because I realized that in one of your coachings, and I don't remember what course it was, but I remember you spoke about control, and I didn't know I was a controlling person. You know, obviously when they say like 20 people are saying to you, you have some control issues sometimes, there might be some truth to that. And I remember hearing your video and going through it and really writing notes. And then I remember going, oh my God, here she goes again. I am controlling. But I thought for 1 second, and it made me super, super, super happy that I accepted that I had some control issues with how I wanted things and so forth. But I realized more that maybe I had been controlling not getting to know myself. Maybe I had been controlling not even accepting healing. I had been controlling so many aspects of my own life to avoid it. Maybe not with the intentions to avoid, but definitely to not pay attention.
Wow.
But that one day turned into 2 weeks, which now led into almost a year and a half of being away from social media, being away from my business, attending to myself. And I no longer feel, I had to immediately let go of the responsibility of pleasing the world. I believe there are many people out there that were ready, aligned at that moment to take over. And your first priority is to heal yourself and to work on yourself. And even though I had to, not only what I was dealing with, plus the two events, plus now the guilt of letting the business go, letting what felt like my future go, I felt like I'm going to feel like a failure because this is not my idea of what success looks like, and this is not how you end things. But you know what? Not everything is picture perfect. And when events and tragedy happen, you don't have time to plan around that. The only control I had was how I was going to treat myself during this. And when it was over, you know, where you feel good, how proud would I feel about myself and my decisions along the way? And also, why take your courses? Why did I invest all that time and finance and energy to have all these tools just look pretty? You get a shovel and now you have to go to the backyard and dig that dirt. It's going to get messy and it's hard, but why did you buy the shovel? So I was willing to lose whatever it took. I didn't care what business, because you could always rebuild the business, maybe a better business, maybe a better brand. And I started looking at, and I'm honestly still at that phase right now where I may continue girl and I may not, and I may feel that I've already served my purpose and now I'm on to something else. And the beautiful part is that I get to choose, and I don't have to, it's about what aligns for me. And once I decide where that is, I believe that there will be women that will be aligned at that time for me to help, whether it's one or 1,000. I no longer care about the audience, the number of audience. I really care about myself right now. And it feels really, really good to experience all that. And I cried a lot through it, a lot. and you have to remind yourself through that whole time that you're making that shift. You have to remind yourself when it gets really hard. And there were days where, and weeks and months where I said, I give up. And I want to, you know, I want to say, because I'm a married woman with a blended family. And like I said, when I first walked through the self-love and you feel so high, oh my gosh, I just wanted everyone in my family to experience this. And you just see, you feel like you have the answers. And then, you know, there goes that little control part of you. Just come on, you know, it's going to be for your good. And obviously you come from a place of good intentions. It's your family and you want them to heal, and you see the pain and you feel like you have the answers. And as I've, from then till now, that even the transition of my family, like starting with my daughter and realizing I didn't grow up seeing women heal. I didn't grow up seeing a lot of healthy, healthy women, but their upbringings, you know, they weren't taught how to attract men and what to consider and what to look for. You know, most of the women in my family, most of all of us were raised without our biological fathers. So it was very limited of what I learned. I learned how to be a powerful, strong woman who will get through it. You have kids, you're a go-getter, you do what you got to do. But to now look at my daughter and say, and have her see me healing and have her, I've always been authentic with her. I wanted her to see my life as a crystal door, the good, the bad. I wanted her to see how I handle everything, and always obviously talk to her about it. And I was able to present to her healing. I was able to present to her your coaching and get her to experience this. And, you know, it's amazing when your 18-year-old daughter comes to you. And I'm not saying for any mom out there that convinces their daughter to heal, because, you know, teenagers don't think they need to heal. I'm not saying that it was easy and easily accepted, because it has its roller coasters too, just like our own lives. But there's so much evidence when later on your daughter, now 2.5 years later, says, "Mom, I gotta work with Ivana, because I gotta get my crap together." And it's like, you know, that was such a cool moment for me to hear her say that. Like, one, she said it jokingly like that, and it was funny, but it was like, you are internally looking. You have identified something that you feel you need to talk to her about. Like I said, that's amazing. At your age, I would have never done that. Yep. I'm writing to my 18-year-old self because I didn't get to do that, you know? So like that just made me so proud because I know that she will be forever a part of a healing world, and that will transpire into my grandkids and so forth. And I, you know, I'm going to take that because that's powerful. And that changes so many things. I know, and I believe that she will continue to work on her. It's going to change who she attracts in her life, who she keeps in her life, friends, family, you know, work, careers, everything. And it starts from home.
Mm-hmm. So how did it make you feel? So you've mentioned so much. So your negative self-talk, you started working on your body image. You started working on the shame, the guilt, everything you were carrying. You started working on your boundaries, not being available for everyone. You start being available for yourself. Your level of awareness just like skyrocketed. And you're like, dang, I am controlling a little bit. I am.
Yeah.
And so doing all this inner work and seeing how it rippled over to affect your family. And now you're starting to break these generational traumas. Like, how did that make you feel?
Oof. It feels good. I mean, absolutely good, but I want to be like, for anyone listening who is going through it, or maybe going through it in the beginning stages of when I was at that stage or considering to go through it. If the end, because even though we're not at the end, but here we are, feels so good, but it also, it wears on you. I had to tell myself that I am, how difficult has it been, even from when I started following you? Why didn't it just click? Why didn't you said so many things that were evident in my life. Why didn't it just click? You know, we're so good at hearing something and making it for someone else. I just have so much going on in my head right now. I want to like,
I love it. So so you're talking about like, why couldn't I see it earlier, or it was in my face the entire time? And what I think is interesting is looking at the point where you actually made the move, made the choice to trust yourself, right? So that's a big part.
Yeah.
It's a big part of my coaching. So why or how did you trust yourself in that moment to move forward with me, right? Because relationships are affected by our internal reality. You still chose to listen to yourself and put your trust in me as well and move forward. That's one part. And then again, you had an inner voice telling you it's time to focus on myself. So I'd like to say, well, you've been doing something your entire life, right? You've been doing this your whole life. That's all that you've been doing. And that is
ignoring
like
myself.
And now, exactly. And so now there is a little bit that is starting to creep in, and you're like, why can't I see it? Why can't I see it? You're having these blinders on, right? To protect yourself. And I think it's so incredible, your journey of going from this extreme busy bee to your full focus on you. And I do want to hear, because you've shared like the internal experience and how it trickled over to your daughter, what is something else that happened externally, right? We've heard a lot of amazing internal breakthroughs and realizations and healing you did within. What happened externally? So your daughter is part of kind of like the external. What happened with your romantic relationship with your husband? Any friendships, anything in your career? So what happened in the external world?
Going through the healing and going through the self-love courses with you in the beginning, when we shifted from business to client, personal client now, and I was going through all my healing work with you, I started realizing deeply that I started questioning myself and wondering, I had attracted these past relationships into my life during the years where I was sitting on with this trauma. And protecting myself and guarding myself and being defensive or controlling, and you know, relationships coming to an end, and the way they would come to an end, and you're not going to hurt me, and you know, what we call boundaries are really you know, you hiding from your trauma at that time. And I think I realized that as I was going through all this, your teachings, I realized that I was not positioning myself in a lot of moments as a woman who felt self-love for herself, as a woman who had self-worth. Some of my behaviors that I was showing him as a wife or as just a partner was clingy, or it could be obsessive, or I mean, I don't want to sound these words all huge, but I guess sometimes that's what it could look like. And then controlling, you know, like a big recipe for get out for him. But, you know, when you're used to being like that, I was used to being like that. I didn't realize that any of that had to do with past childhood trauma and the way I guarded myself, this new layer of masks that had formed. And here we are. So as I went through all my courses with you and I started learning truly what it was to start positioning myself and what it felt like, I started looking at my marriage more closely. And there were moments where I had to come to a point of saying, you know, when a person is elevating themselves and the other person is not at that time, there could be a clash at some point, right? Because there's no saying how far I'm going to elevate. And at the rate that I was going with you, God knows, like I was nervous. If I'm being honest, I was nervous of whether or not our marriage would be able to survive, the possible woman that I would become. And I think I thought too much into it. I think I applied too much fear and thought into it. And I really wanted him to go in through healing with us. And it didn't work out the way I wanted it to. And as I journeyed through that, there were times I got very upset about it. There were times that it was hurtful for me, or you lose faith. You see yourself growing. You start experiencing the same level of arguments, but you're handling it differently. You're seeing the arguments from a different perspective. I would literally be able to sit there and argue for 2 hours if he would let me. So now
you're saying to the listener that on your journey, as you were elevating, you wanted to bring your husband with you and do the same thing with you. And then
yes,
that's the part that didn't plan out exactly like you wanted to. Got it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then when you know, with, again, great intentions, I'm like, babe, I just don't want our marriage to fall. You know, like, that's what I'm thinking. You think you're doing so good, which I, in essence, I am. I'm not promoting drugs. I'm promoting health. But when a person's not ready for that, or maybe they don't believe in that, or whatever the criteria is, there were times that I wondered, I said, did I heal enough for us just to remain? Is this, you know, where you just kind of, I think I'm okay now. I'm all right. I don't really need to heal any further, even though, you know, you could, but just to save this, because if I go any further, I might not be able to deal with the next argument, because I'm not gonna, now I'm just at another level. And, you know, when you start compromising or thinking that you should compromise your journey, I realized for myself that's not something I wanted to do. I was not, again, going to look to please someone else. And I had to keep that in mind, that I'm a people pleaser, you know, I'm so used to that. So no, let's go about this healthy. And I'm not going to crucify him or judge him, because I was there too. And it's okay. Time will tell. That's just what it is. Time will tell. And then as time has gone, I feel that we have, there were moments where, he would like listen to some of the teachings that you've given us, or he would agree to listen to a YouTube video. I always try to look for opportunities to throw a video in there or ask his permission, like, you know, like, can we do this? And he did get some vitamin from that, you know, and I believed that wholeheartedly that maybe he didn't have to, you know, men are different. Maybe he doesn't have to sit there and get all of these courses to get the light to turn on. You know, it might be that one thing that that really changes. And little by little, we are right now not where ideally I would love to be as far as a full healing family, right? And I know that might take a very long time, but that's what I want to see, right, for everyone's health. But what I will say is that I am very pleased with the acknowledgments of, at least on his end, to identify that, you know what, there are childhood traumas. There are such a thing as reference points in your upbringing. And maybe these events did affect how I'm, you know, choosing to raise this family or approach this family. Or I wonder why I don't know this. Who was responsible for teaching me this? And where did I get influenced? So I am seeing some light, but I don't know how to say this, but I no longer feel that responsibility, even though I'm a wife. I don't feel that responsibility or that fear that, oh my God, we need to hurry up and heal together, or this marriage is going to fall apart. Or I believe so much in myself and where I've been able to allow myself to get to, that things will work itself out. If he and I are meant to be, and we are aligned because our health and our decisions bring us there, then time will tell. And if not, time will tell. And I just don't want to be in fear, right? Or anxiety over it. Give people their space and their time to walk out their lives. But you don't stop yours. You don't stop your healing and your pursuit of yourself for anyone, not even for yourself.
Wow, that's powerful. A lot to think about for whoever is you who is watching, listening, you who are watching and listening. I think it's so powerful. And what you've done there, maybe you've realized, maybe you haven't, maybe the person who's listening right now has or hasn't, but your choice to take your attention away from him and needing him to do, for example, exactly what you want him to do. Also, there's that pattern, right? And the cool thing about patterns, because we all have them, is when we break one or heal one in one area, it just wipes everything else out. This is why we can heal fast as well when we make these decisions. So you not putting that pressure on him anymore, actually, I don't know if you've noticed, but that should have allowed you to also not feel as controlling in other areas. Yes. With other people. Did you see that?
Yes. You know, I had, and obviously I don't want to air like the details of everybody's problems in their marriages, or we all have them. But it's amazing to me how our problems are very different now. They're very different now.
Yeah. So what is different in y'all's relationship? So you acknowledge that you had the tendency to want to push the same thing. You wanted him to do the same thing as you. You have gotten to a place where you're more pleased with how it is. What does your marriage look like today versus how it was before you started coaching?
Well, one thing that's really, really huge is that now there is a huge awareness, at least on my husband's part to me, that I am a woman who has taken the time to search herself. He's personally seen the work himself. And I know that even in the beginning, there were times where I think my healing journey hurt him, because I was, hello, I'm not, now I'm not being obsessive. I'm not being clingy. I'm not, hello, where are you? Come home, you know, or texting, or like, you know, we have an argument. He wants to stop. No, I want to keep going. Now it's just, you know, I remember one of the, I remember, you know, that he would say, like, you know, you act sometimes obsessive and this, and I just wouldn't, I would be like, why would you say that? And I remember that I went through my healing and I was there. I'm like in the living room. He's right there in the sofa and I'm on my desk. Like we're like probably a arm away. And I remember one day he was like, where's my attention? And he's like, are you going to continue to be like this? And I'm like, yeah, this is like, I'm like happy. I'm like, and then he said, I want you to be obsessive. And I was like, you hated it when I was like that, you know? And I said, that would turn you away into go play video games. And he's like, I missed you. And I'm like, but you miss a part of me that was like, that she wasn't supposed to be there. And I think we give so much of ourselves when we are unhealed. We give so much of ourselves exclusively in a relationship. You know, we overextend ourselves and we give away so much of that woman that we have yet to meet, right? I gave so much of me. And when I came into healing, I realized I have to take some of that back. And you have to be with a strong man who's willing to understand that. Because I had to really take some back and say, I didn't even need to let all that go to begin with. I mean, I'm giving you 150. That, where's the math? I didn't even need to get there. Like, I'm going to have to get some of her back and I'm going to use her here. Where she's actually needed, right here, right here. And it was quite hard as a woman, you're a married woman and you're realigning your marriage as time goes on through your healing, you're learning more about yourself. And it was important to me that I had to set new boundaries, but without pushing him away or making him feel like you can't come in. And that's hard because you have to learn how to create boundaries when you don't know how. You've never had boundaries. What is that? We skipped the letter B. It's not ABC, it's ACD. So I had to learn all these things that in my own life, and then also hope that it's not hurting him. But now where we are now, like I said, I know that he is aware of my journey and he is aware that I am a woman that will forever be growing. And he knows how important, I've had to, in fairness to him, cause he does, I just started understanding myself. I had to sit with him and also include him in what's happening of like, you know, my love, I remember before we would argue and you would say these things in the heat of the moment. And I, this is how I would react, but I didn't realize that it was actually a trigger. I didn't know that. And when you say this, this is actually triggering, you know, the 9-year-old Yadira. And this is why I reacted. I didn't know that. And so I just want you to know that that is what's happening. And, you know, you bring it to the table so that now your partner is aware of what's sensitive still there and hope at that moment right now. Now he's super empowered to be able to respond differently to that situation. And there are moments that even though you communicate, I've communicated these things hurt. And then you see that they continue. Here goes that toolkit again. You have to go back to that toolkit. And I've had to go back to the toolkit to say, okay, what level, where am I at right now? I don't feel comfortable with this. And now I don't suppress things. Now I'm very careful with what's being thrown at me. I'm very careful with, and I treat my journey and my heart very sensitive, very delicate. And I'm trying my best to make conscious effort of anyone that is in front of me and who I choose to keep in my life. You have to learn how to treat me. You have to learn, this isn't just come as you go. This is you want. No.
That's beautiful. I love that. That's huge. So there's so many pieces that get affected by this healing journey. And I know you did take, like we've talked about, you took that break from your business, but you've still been accomplishing and thriving in a way. I know you shared about a great, I don't know how much we can talk about this, but something coming up. And then as well as you taking care of some, paying off some major loans. So still on the business piece, in the professional world, in the business world, when it comes to the monetary stuff, that's still been working out, right?
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting how, you know, you don't realize how childhood trauma, it just sounds like just, you know, mental health now is getting a kick. You know, now people are saying mental health. Before, you know, that was for soldiers that came, PTSD was only for soldiers that came from the army, right? And it's definitely not the case. Thinking of, isn't it just amazing how blinded we really, like, I feel that I was blind for so many years. It, you know, it's amazing what 6 hours can do, because we've had, it only took, you know, I think what, 3-4 sessions, an hour each. And I had with you privately where I learned so much, and I mean, changed so much about my life. So when we add that, that's 4 hours of revolutionary change. You know, I believe that, I think when you, it goes back to what I said when I first went to financially invest in myself, like, you know, you look at a program that's $600, $700. If you've never invested in yourself, that seems like a lot. If you've never gone to a workshop or any type of self-development, then it might seem like a lot, but it is not. We have to remember that we're not talking about like playing chess and, you know, measuring what you can accomplish in those 6 hours. We're talking about the pure essence of our lives and whether or not we have the readiness to open our eyes and confront ourselves and really spend time with ourselves. And that's going to show us so much. 6 hours is a lot. I think by 4 hours, you're going to be like,
oh my gosh. Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. I think it's important to note, even for me, myself, when I started my journey, I'm like, what the heck? I've been doing this my whole life. How am I going to unpack all of this? But it is so powerful because everything, people don't understand, you've been doing things so far and you may not even realize it, that has positioned yourself to be right where you are at this exact time. And you may feel like you haven't done anything or you haven't accomplished much, but you are like in the perfect spot for your next level. So I love that. Thank you so much for sharing this. I think
I want to add something. Your prior to your course, I was in financial debt, and you just, again, same patterns, you keep the same things that you have because you keep the same patterns, same thinking, same everything. And I remember telling myself, God, you know, it's just so hard in America. It's just like everything is debt, everything is paying and then interest. And then you don't realize that you are part of the problem. You're like almost all of it. And I know that there are events that pull you and sway you and, you know, it gets out of control. And those are unpredicted events, right? Mine were part unpredicted, and then some were my doing. A lot were my doing. And I remember that I always felt I was never going to get out of debt. And since you're through the healing courses, when I could finally identify with saying genuinely, like, I am actually healing, to a place where I felt healthy, it started, because you're now you are forced to start confronting yourself in all areas that you're willing to confront yourself. And I wanted to confront every category. And when I got to the finance, I was like, and when I sat there and I realized that my thinking had changed, even how I was seeing these numbers, how I was approaching it. And now it shifted in, hold on, I've been in debt nearly my whole life. And after working with you, what, a year, that following year, in less than a year, I pulled myself together. Actually, since I got out of social media, pulled myself together and I got out of debt 100%, like out of 110%. And that had to do with being healthy enough to approach my decisions of how I was managing my money. And it took a huge sacrifice in that year or less, but it was possible and I did it. And there's just no going back now. Once you start seeing what it took to get here, you will fight to keep that. And it's a great fight. I wanted to add that because that was...
I think that's so crucial because maybe someone who's listening is like, oh, I could never get up, like give up working so hard. And what about my finances? But the fact that you trust the process, and then that...
I didn't always have money to pay you. And there were times where you would put that offer, like pay now, I'm going to exaggerate a number, right? Pay now 200, or no, better yet, pay now 222. and you know, or tomorrow it'll be, let's say 800. And then there were times I'm like, oh my God, this is the course I want. And if we could just do it for 200, but I didn't have 200. But if I did the 800, I could do the payment plan. But you know what? There were times I had it and I got the great deal. And there were times I had to do the payment plan and pay that full rate. And there were so many sacrifices that I did to heal myself when I had no money. And I mean, I worked extra. There were times I worked overtime so that I could make the money to make the payment arrangement, just because I had all the financial responsibilities. But what I want to bring to it is that I don't want anyone to think I'm not a millionaire. I'm not even rich. So it wasn't easy to financially always invest in myself. It just became a matter of once I decided it didn't, that was it. I'm going to do it. Maybe I can't do this course. There were courses you put that I was, I couldn't make it. I just didn't get to get it. And that's okay. I'm waiting for the next one. And I always felt, you know what, that next one was the one that was aligned for me.
That's amazing.
So you can make it work.
You make me want to ask like two more coaching questions here. So the one is freaking amazing because they're really the representation of like no excuses type of woman and not living in fear. And you said that was one of your big things that you also didn't want to have in your marriage. So you had all this debt, you had put your business to rest, and you went through this healing journey and you ended up paying off your debt. And like I said, I don't know how much we can talk about this, but you ended up also getting new opportunities that were like amazing. You're like, what the heck? Like, this is so awesome. So things were like falling into place for you, even though like your focus was not there. And that's the beauty of healing. So what I want to ask you, what did you, first of all, did you think it would be possible for you to be where you are today before coaching with me?
And but probably because I didn't really have that type of representation in front of me. Like, you know, now I have a lot of friends who are in this healing journey, but then I didn't have that. I didn't see it. Yeah, no.
So it's
bring the question. What was the,
ever before we started working together, did you think it would be possible for you to one day be where you are today?
I didn't think it was possible because I didn't think about it. I didn't also see it. And I think that if I'm being honest, I do know that, you know, like when you see like Oprah Winfrey and you hear her executive interviews, it goes right to like these self-love quotes and all of it. And I don't know. I would open up a self-love book and it was like, okay, God, like, okay, what am I going to learn here? I don't think I would have ever, I never thought of it. I never thought that there was something wrong with me for me to even think that there was a possibility to get better. If I thought of getting better, it definitely was with success and money, of achieving a higher title, of some sort, being some type of executive and running companies and, you know, like.
You never tied that to your relationship with yourself.
Correct.
Gotcha. That's huge. So one more question, since you have experienced such a blend, so one-on-one coaching, group programs, classes, what would you say is the biggest difference between actually working one-on-one with me or any coach and then versus buying a course or a program? What is the difference there? What was your experience like?
I mean, so prior to you, as far as coaches or any type of like healing, you know, I never really had a business coach. The closest was that building a program with someone. It was for, it was just a couple of weeks. And then with you became the business coach, but then we transitioned into what people will call therapy, right? But it's not therapy. I only ever had a therapist before. And I think like two or three sessions. And I realized real quick that for me personally, I just felt like I was just talking to a friend of mine, telling her what my problems were, and somebody, a sounding board, someone to hear me. And I never really got, I felt good like airing it out and going home, and then it would happen again. And I'm like, I got to go talk to my therapist and air it out. I didn't realize that I could get healed. I just thought, you know, that I could just have someone be a sounding board. So I would say, for me, therapy, one-on-one therapy like that, like traditional therapy, doesn't work. Your coaching, I don't even know what to call it, because I just think it's just different. It's we're so used to being told what to do, and it's hard to find a coach that that brings that essence out of you and really allows you to be in control of your own decisions and empowers your own decisions in your mind. And that's not easy to do. It's not easy to be a coach, to get people to go in a space that they're spending their whole life avoiding. You on a one-on-one private session for me versus I love all of the settings because they're all different. Some topics, like your cyclic program that has to do with the woman's cycle and all of that. That to me, I don't mind it being a group setting. You know, we're all women, we get our cycle and we all kind of experience different things. And when you present it and you share, when you say you're going live and we all go live with you, it's beautiful that you get to answer our questions live. So I think those settings are great for me. But I really do enjoy the one-on-one sessions for the actual growth of my toolkit. Okay. Because sometimes I think there were times in sessions with you where I felt like, okay, let me pre-plan ahead. I got to ask her. It's a paid session. I got to ask her. I got to get these questions written down because I'm going to forget. I'm going to read it to her and then you're going to answer me. And then it just like, it's like a homework. And I realized in one of the sessions, sometimes it just might be one question that you air out and it might be, maybe we might sit in silence, maybe. And that's okay because that's what needed to happen. But there's so much growth, personal growth in that one-on-one session. I got to really see you as an actual coach. How do you treat my wound? How do you help me in this wound? What is your advice? How do you guide me? And you don't really get to get that in a group setting because you have to limit yourself now as a coach to the attention of so many. So I think it's hard to say which one is best. I think it's more on what you need at that time. And there's no reason why you can't do one more than one. Right. I've had one-on-one coaching with you, which are scheduled and whenever. And then you throw some classes where I sign up for, and then you, it's about scheduling yourself.
And what was your experience like, because you did therapy, what was your experience like having the voice messaging support in between the sessions, being able to reach out to me and say, hey, this is what I have going on. And you didn't have to wait an entire week to speak to me again. How did that
in
your journey?
This is why I need to be rich, because I have to like hire you full time. Because I really remember when we had the business coaching and I had questions and I was able to message you and you were this is like the best. This is the best. And I absolutely think at that time I needed that. But it's so good to have that. It was because you're informative, you're knowledgeable. You guide correctly, you know, and you've walked through it also. You're not coming from a place of, I read it in a book and I wonder how this feels. No, you know what you're talking about. So I think each category that you touch, one-on-one coaching, business coaching, author, talking about the woman's cycle, talking about marriage, talking about coming back to yourself, every category that you have, I think it's a matter of the women approaching it on what they need. Private one-on-one, I recommend. And I recommend all of them, honestly. I can't even.
So it just depends on the person and what they need.
It depends on the person and what they need. And don't limit yourself to just, if you feel that you're doing one-on-one with her and it's overwhelming and you don't want to take on the free courses or sign up for other ones, then that's okay. If like during that year and a half that I took off, I couldn't take courses. I had to sit with what she had already taught me and soak that in and apply it before learning new things. Because I know once I go in a course, now I make a conscious decision to say, there's something that's going to change out of this. And you have to be open and willing to do that with yourself.
Yes. I love that.
So share with my daughter. I said, don't be afraid to go into your value system, your belief system, things that I have taught you, and question them and consider them and see if they are a part of you. Because there are things that I pushed onto you because they were pushed onto me. So being that type of parent and changing my mindset and also, I don't remember what course you where this came from. I know it came from you about how you spoke about with your father that you felt like validated when you did something good in school or like achieve something.
The performance-based type of love. Yes. Or validation.
and I realized that, cause I'm like a super education mom and like I have high expectations with them and, it's like a school at home it made me go back and think, oh my God, am I putting my son to feel like maybe he, he has to achieve that A or this and that. And because I'm trying to motivate him to do better. And because I started noticing that after you said that, he was coming home with, hey, mom, I got an A. And I was like, congratulating. And then I realized that when he would come and say, like he did something wrong in school, then I would obviously address that. And I said, does he even know that it doesn't matter what he does in life, that I love him no matter what? And that your teaching made me change my parenting there of, I started talking to him and during our prayers at night and talking to saying, I said, Xavier, I want you to know that no matter what grade you get in school, what medal, what trophy, what A, what B, what C, what F. And I said, mommy's going to love you no matter what. You don't have to do anything for mommy to love you. And he said, I know. I'm like, oh, I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Awesome. I love that.
But it made me change.
For the person who has been like, or maybe just came across this and is like ready to take action the same second, because some people are fast like that. Other people, mm-hmm. know, they're watching and they're hesitating a little bit.
Yes.
Tell to the person on the fence, whether it's coming to this workshop or applying for it, one-on-one, some type of course, or just like going all in, what would you tell that person?
I'm a thinker, and I'm deep thinking, like I overthink. I think if it's your first time, you know, whatever it is, that's what obstacle could be stopping you, whether it's your own mind or the finances. I think everyone comes to a point where, you know, if you see yourself wishy-washy, like one, did the course draw your attention? That's one. If it drew your attention, then clearly you want to attend it. And there's a reason why it caught your attention. I think we have to start considering, especially if you've never been down a path of self-healing. So I would say, don't even overthink it. Sometimes you just have to just go. You have to just do it and see, you know, and feel it. And there's a difference when you hear a Beyonce song and when you're at a Beyonce concert. So something drew you to this teaching and something is going to bring you to that workshop. And I really, 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 I think I to see other women sign up, for me, it's even if I don't know them, I know the impact that will have in their lives and those that they surround. So you might be that link in between those around you and the future, and obviously for yourself. So I would go for it.
Any final words, anything that you want to share that's going on in your life, or anything that you think that they need to know before we tune out of here?
No, I said a lot. I'm still a work in progress, and to experience breakthrough in something that I didn't even know I needed breakthrough was just, it's a forever blessing. To really come to a place of knowing myself, now I can say I know myself. And I'm super excited I have no idea of the woman that's coming in the future. Like, I really don't, because I'm like fueling myself now. So I just wonder what's going to happen. I don't know.
Fueling yourself or both?
Both. You know, and I have such a great deal of respect for myself. I'm very, very empowered. And although I'm super family oriented, I love my husband. You know, we have our marriage, and I'm thankful to be that person and that woman, that wife and that mom that took a stance. And the stance was first for myself, and then two, being a point of reference for them of what it looks like to heal. And your life will be a message to someone, and it will be seen, because you change. You change. And I welcomed that darkness in this year and a half. I welcomed what I felt was like depression. You know, it felt like all those things, but I realized, I knew I wasn't depressed. I knew I was going through healing. That has been a revolutionary change for my life. And for me, what's next? I don't know what's next for me. Not yet. I know that it's women and healing, and but I don't know yet what it looks like and when. And actually, that makes me happy, to be honest. It makes me happy that I don't have dates on things.
Because in the unknown is where magic happens.
Yes.
Pleasure. And I want to thank you for being on here and just like sharing from your heart, being so transparent, sharing your journey, your experience, your perspectives, giving the audience an insight into what it can look like. What happens when you're willing to go all in and just allow yourself to go through the process and just like living in the unknown where, like I said, where nothing happens. So I look forward to seeing you at the workshop, and we'll most likely.
Thank you so much, Amanda.
Together. So thank you for being here. If anybody has any questions, feel free to write them or send me a message and we can talk about it. So thank you, Yadira.
Bye, everyone. Bye, ladies. And good luck. Remember to believe in yourself and stay strong and true to yourself. Always. Choose always you.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye.